from ABC News Radio, KMET 1490 in Southern California. This is Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with your host, Tyler Jorgensen.
I want to welcome everybody out to a special episode here of Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio on ABC News. And I say it's special because it's not very often that I get to speak Afrikaans to my guests. And today we have Murray Nassel, PhD, author of Powered by Storytelling. And I want to welcome you out to the show, and it's really good to have you here.
Well, thanks so much. It's really great to be here on this show. And what shall I say? How's it, man?
Yeah, how's it? It's it was delightful to hear your accent, because I'm like, I know that accent, and I don't hear it enough. But we're going to talk today a little bit about your journey, about why you wrote Powered by Storytelling, and then about what really storytelling in business is all about. And I guess right at the root of it is the difference between two-way conversation and one-way conversations in business, right? Like, is that kind of the very beginning of where this all breaks down?
Yes. In fact, I would say that two-way conversations are really the only kinds of conversations, right? Because really what it takes for any of us to have a conversation is that somebody needs to be listening and somebody needs to be speaking. You know, without a listener, my words have absolutely nowhere to land. So I really, what's fundamental to the way that I teach and think about storytelling is that there's a reciprocal relationship between listening and telling. So listening is kind of like a bowl, right? And telling is like a liquid that gets. So just as the bowl gives the liquid its shape, so does listening give storytelling its shape. So they are inextricably connected.
So, and I totally agree with you. I think that's absolutely true. But why is it that you think that so many companies and businesses fail to recognize that reciprocal relationship and really just broadcast their message without thinking of the recipient?
I think there are a number of different reasons that this goes on. You know, we have this kind of almost sort of a top-down messaging. I think the first is that we have very, very swiftly, almost in an explosive fashion, gone from a very mechanistic age of business to a much more sort of idea-based version of business. So we've now entered the age of information. We are no longer making widgets on conveyor belts. Now, in the old days, when people were busy assembling things on conveyor belts, well, all that was needed was an instruction from the supervisor at the top and said, do it this way, and everyone had to do it that way. And that was thought of to be the most efficient an effective way of making something and creating something. You gave the order from above and people just executed. Well, that's not the way things work anymore. We are all carriers of tremendous amounts of knowledge and expertise and information based on our histories, where we come from, what we've experienced, maybe the mistakes we've made in our lives, maybe the lessons we've learned. Maybe you've gone to Africa as a missionary. Maybe you've been in the army, you know. Maybe you worked in a summer camp with disturbed kids during one summer. So in all of these experiences, we carry a tremendous amount of information. And if you aren't listening to the people who work for you and with you, you're actually not able to tap into these valuable forms of information and experience. And therefore, you are failing to do what this information age makes available to us.
That's great. I think one of my favorite quotes in business, and it, from a leadership perspective, is that the without vision, a people perish. Yeah. How can storytelling help leaders and business owners get their entire employees and staff base rallying around a common vision?
I have to tell you that what you just said brings up a surge of sort of heartfelt emotion for me. And the reason for that is without vision, the people perish, was my father's seminal quote. My father's, that was what my father always said. And in fact, my book is dedicated to my father. And what I say, I'm even going to show it to you here.
Yes, please.
Is that I say, in memory of my father, Norman Wolf Nossel, 1932 to 2012, a business visionary. And that's what he was. So, vision in terms of business is crucial. Where are you going? What's the higher purpose that your business is calling you into? Now, this is the kind of business that I'm talking about. I realize that not every business is that way. Not every business person is going to have a higher vision. But I'm interested in businesses that are like that because I'm interested in transforming communication in the workplace. So your vision is something that goes beyond the immediate circumstances, and it has to do with your aspiration for your field, for your country, for the world at large. And your vision is a story. In order to be able to communicate your vision, you must be able to tell a story about it so that people can connect with what it is and that there's something really concrete there that they'll be able to connect to. I mean, I could tell you a variety of different personal stories that communicate exactly what I'm talking about here.
Well, let's look at that. I mean, you do a lot of different things. You created you've published a book, you've produced movies and documentaries, and then you also have your company that helps other people do this. What was your vision for writing Powered by Storytelling?
My vision for writing Powered by Storytelling is exactly the same as my vision for the world. They are inseparable. I see a world connected by people listening and telling personal stories. For me, that's the only way that we as a species, as human beings, are going to be able to survive when we learn how to listen and share who we are with one another. So it makes no difference to me whether I'm talking about business or I'm talking about politics or I'm talking about medical practice or legal practice. It's always the same thing, you know. People connected through listening and telling personal stories. Now, it just so happens that business is an incredibly, incredibly powerful force in our world in general. You know, we are living in mostly capitalist economies where businesses are very powerful and increasingly powerful. So if you are going to want to try and change a world in which people are connected, well, business is an incredible platform in which to do that because you do have so many people who are working in business, whether it's in large corporations or for themselves. I read somewhere recently that, you know, in the next 20 years, you know, there are going to be 30% more people running their own businesses or working for themselves than there are now. So, you know, many people now are having to think of themselves as a business. And so the way we communicate in business is no different than the way we communicate as people to one another in our personal lives.
So this brings up something that's really interesting to me because as somebody who encourages people to become entrepreneurs, try to get out of just being self-employed and move to truly being business owners, often that first step is moving from being an employee to being self-employed. Yeah. And with that, narratives change and stories change and people's identities shift. If for 20 years, they've been Joe the accountant who works for accountant firm A, and now they're Joe the accountant who is self-employed, like their stories have to shift, their stories have to evolve. And that's going to happen like on this individual level, but then it's also happening as companies shift. So how do you adjust the stories how does your story change as you evolve?
That's a great question. Okay, so the first question that I always ask, whether I'm working with a small LLC or a huge corporation, it's a pair of questions. Why story and why now? We human beings have got so many different ways of communicating information to one another. statistics, graphs, PowerPoint presentations, pages on our social media sites. These are not stories. These are clusters of information that can be turned into stories. And a story is its own thing. It's its own hardwired brain function, right? Which is the most powerful way of communicating, because we human beings have always used storytelling as a way of passing on survival-related information to our next of kin, right? That's how we always told people, this is how you're going to survive in the world. Watch out for those crocodiles, you know. Yep. Because the last guy that went across the valley and thought that a crocodile was a log got his leg bitten off, right? So that's how we communicate what's important to our survival. So stories are a very powerful way of communicating who we are and what we do, and we want to use them very skillfully and very selectively. So the first question you want to ask yourself in a business and in a new business, for instance, your new startup, is why do I want to tell a story about my startup? Why am I choosing to tell a story? What message do I want to communicate about my startup? Because stories are the most important and incredibly powerful ways of communicating our message. So that's the first thing. Why story? The second question is, why now? Why is now the time to tell that story? What's the urgency? What's the call to action, right? What makes you want to tell a story right now in this moment? So in fact, let me tell you that something makes me want to tell a story to you right now in this moment, me to you. And that is that I haven't told you a story yet. So I realize that I'm talking quite theoretically about things now.
Right.
But in fact, my medium is storytelling. And so if I really want to capture your attention and I really want you to know what I do, I would tell you a story.
Yeah, so, and I think that's so fascinating, because talking about storytelling is not telling a story, and the best way, obviously, is going to be to do that. And so, So, how do we transition to getting you to tell us a story?
Well, you know something, I think that tying into your last question is, you know, what stories do entrepreneurs tell when they're first starting, right?
Right.
Now, one of the things that we human beings are very, very interested in is our origin stories. Talk to any couple, right? You're going to dinner with some other couples, you know, that are together. How did you meet one another? Everybody wants to know that. It's just like the most fascinating topic in the world. If we think about the most influential stories in the world, how did the world get created? Look at the Bible, right? The origin story. So there's something about the origin story that communicates who we are and what we do in a very powerful way. So one of the things you want to say when you're starting your business and you want to let people know what your business does, what your message is, and why now, how did it get started? Right? How did this business get started? What was that kind of fuel that launched this business into the sky? So my origin story is something I'd love to tell you right now then.
Yeah, please do.
So my origin story has nothing to do with business whatsoever. It has to do with coming to the United States to be a playwright. I was previously a clinical psychologist, and I worked as a playwright for 3 years, but I didn't make a penny doing it. And at the end of those 3 years, what am I going to do? I went back to do a PhD, not in business, but in social work. I was very interested in the ways that communities function together. My very first job as a social work intern is in an AIDS program. Now, this is in the early 90s, and people then were dying of AIDS. There were no medications yet that would totally change the face of the epidemic. So I sit down with my first patient, and I say, "How are you feeling?" And the patient says, "Listen, what kind of bullshit question is that? Sorry, can I say that on the air?"
Oh. Yeah, we can't swear on ABC, but, you know, we'll be all right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But it is a direct quote.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you knew you were going to die? I mean, that's what you basically said to me. And so I had to change my tactic. And I started to just observe what was going on in this program. And I saw that people, in fact, were dying. And that when they died, their belongings would end up in these black garbage bags. And nobody came to claim them. So people were dying, leaving nothing of themselves behind. And those who were living saw, that's what's going to become of me when I die. I'm going to end up in a black garbage bag too.
Right.
So I had this idea that the one thing that people can leave behind is a story. Everyone has a story they can leave behind. And all you need is a context in which to tell that story. People need to be listening. They need to be trained to listen.
Right.
And storytellers just need to be able to say what happened. That's a story. A story is basically the answer to the question, what happened? Well, when I first started this group, no one came but one person, one woman. And by Christmas of 1994, that storytelling circle of mine was so full that there was no place to move in that room. And people wanted to leave videotapes of their stories for their children, who would never know them because they were dying before their children were old enough to hear their stories. So I made those videotapes. And then when the legislators in New York were threatening cutbacks to people with HIV and AIDS, my patients went to Albany and left those videotapes on the desks of the legislators and said, listen to my story and then tell me I don't deserve services. And it's those stories that totally changed the face of the epidemic, not only in the US, but across the world. That's where I learned the power of storytelling, to change the minds and the hearts of people. Because there were all these statistics at the time about numbers of people who were dying of AIDS. They didn't do the trick. What did the trick were the stories. So the same in business. If you're a leader who wants to inspire your team to reach even higher goals in terms of your business strategy, tell a story.
That's a remarkable story, and I appreciate you sharing it. I think what really stood out to me in that is that the stats, the numbers, all these things that were concrete and real didn't have the same impact as the emotional connection that a story was able to deliver. And I think it's because with numbers, we're able to keep the human element out. But when a story happens, empathy is there, and the human element comes back into play. And humans care about humans, but a lot more than they care about numbers and data and stats and things that, you know, don't have faces and stories. And that is such a powerful example of how you were able to use those stories to humanize numbers and make it real for the legislators. It's fascinating. So I was going to ask you next, where should someone start in creating their narrative and their story? But I think you answered that with the why story and the why now and really coming up with their origin story. And so you said you do, that's where you start with any like company and business. When you go into a company, where do you see that they have messed up? Like, what are the big common mistakes that you have to work on fixing right away?
For me, one of the most common mistakes is that people in a company or a company is doing what it's doing, right? And, all of a sudden, people feel like, well, I need to wake up to my purpose in this company. Or maybe we're not doing as well as we should be. Maybe we need a story. And so they try to superimpose what they think is going to be a good story onto the company. Or they go to a branding company and they say, give us a mission, give us a vision, you know, give us some values.
Right.
That we sort of say are consistent with our company. But it's not genuine. It's not authentic. It's not coming from the people themselves. So for me, the mistake always happens when you don't go directly to the individuals who are there in the moment and ask them, why is this important to you? What does this mean to you? And ask them to reach into their lives, into their personal lives, for stories that connect them as humans to the work that they do. And this doesn't mean that you have to bring out all the skeletons in the closet. It really doesn't mean that. It just means that you want to find something in your personal life that's going to touch people.
So would you say that in, for companies today to thrive and to grow and to really deploy storytelling, that they have to be a little bit more vulnerable and authentic than they had to be in times past?
Very much so. And it's because of this very word that you used earlier, empathy. So many companies are coming to us nowadays and saying, we want to increase empathy. We want to increase the capacity for collaboration, right? We want people to really connect with one another, right? Well, how do you do that? You need to be able to reveal something genuine about yourself in order to be able to empathize and connect, right? These are not qualities that can be fabricated. You can't fake them,
right?
You need to be genuine in terms of coming out of who you are. So when you use the word vulnerability, I don't think vulnerability is a doing. You don't do vulnerability.
Right.
Vulnerability is the effect of opening your heart and opening yourself to other people. And yes, open heart does belong in business. Why wouldn't it? We're human beings working together. Why wouldn't we be open-hearted with one another? And if we are, we're going to tend to be more cooperative and more inclined to collaborate when we actually care about the people that we work with, rather than see them as the sort of enemy or someone who's trying to take my job. So this is the way that I'm seeing a lot of business shifting at the moment. But there's much more of an attitude of working together.
Yeah, we see companies are having like spokespeople, and they're having, you know, actors or things sometimes to provide a face to the company if they're a huge company, right? If sometimes it's really hard to create a human element if you're just, you know, 10,000, 30,000 employees across the globe. And so they use spokespeople to connect and become human again and be relevant. But I think with the smaller companies where there is maybe the CEO is the founder and things like that, it's a little bit easier, if that's the right word, but at the same time, harder for that person to, if they didn't start the company that way, to open up their heart, be vulnerable, because it also means that they are, they're going to get rejected sometimes. Not everyone's going to love their story, right? And so how do you counsel people on that? Because there is polarity in any story.
There's polarity in any story. And in fact, I take a risk. Every time I tell the story of my origin story, that I worked in an AIDS program, and you know that a lot of my patients obviously were gay, a lot of them were drug users, IV drug users, I may end up alienating someone who's got very conservative views and may think, what the hell is that going to do with business, right? But that's the chance that I take, because that's something that truly communicates my value system. And why would I want to do anything else, right? I want to work with people. I want to talk on programs such as this, where I'm able to express who I am. So if you take one of the most marvelous examples in my book, you know, here you've got this man, Craig Costello. He's at Condé Nast Publishing, and he wants to get his team to work together more cooperatively. And he's looking for a story that's really going to communicate what teamwork means to him. So I sit with Craig and I say, okay, what in your personal life is really going to communicate teamwork? We go back to his high school days where he was a football player and he had to function as a member of a team. And at one point, he gets thrown off the team because the coach doesn't like him and he wants to leave town and he really is dissing the coach. And his father says to him, oh no, you have to deal with this. You've got to find a way to get back on that team because it's not about you, it's about the team. So Craig tells that story to his entire group of, the entire group that are reporting to him. And they're all like, wow, this guy's amazing. He's dimensionalized. He is able to be vulnerable in front of us. So, and they are much more inclined to trust him. And then what I do feel in this age of information is that what happens between us in a company is ultimately going to radiate out to the customers as well. There aren't any separations and divisions anymore. Everything's interconnected. So if we show empathy within the division, within the group, we're more likely to listen to our customers as well.
Absolutely. And I think... because we're in that age of information, our customers today expect that. They expect transparency. They expect to be able to reach, you know, customer service through multiple channels, through multiple ways, whatever way is natural to them. They want to be able to talk to someone in the company. And I think that only happens, that's only able to happen if a company has embraced that we need to meet our customers where they are, listen to them, see what they need, and try to, you know, make their experience the best possible. I've really enjoyed the parts I've read. I'm about halfway through or so through the book so far. And I think it's a great book for anyone to read. When you wrote it, who was the reader that you were thinking about? Were you thinking about the big company owner, the employee? Who is it that you were writing for?
I was writing for anybody in business who wants to transform the way they communicate. Now, when I go into a business and I don't get buy-in from the leader, the person at the top, it's going to be very difficult for me to be able to truly teach my method. It's not going to disseminate. Because you can teach it as much as you like, but if the person at the top doesn't really buy into it, you've got a problem. So yes, it's for leaders. It's for people who are currently in leadership positions and want to change the way that communication works in their company. But it's also for people who are aspiring to be leaders. You might have just started working at a talent agency in Los Angeles, and you've been put into the mailroom. That's where you're going to start, like our friend Spielberg. But you have aspirations to be a leader, and you want to learn what it's going to take to get you to the next level. And you want to start making sure that all the connections that you build from that moment onward are those that expand your capacities in the company, expand your visibility, allow people to trust you. So again, in this world of interconnection, for me, this book could land on anybody's desk. It doesn't matter who you are. As long as you have the aspiration to change how you communicate in the business setting, as long as you have the aspiration to truly find fulfillment in your work, that you want to be there as a full human being. And I don't mean that work becomes therapy. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about work being a place where you can fully express yourself and give the best of who you are.
That's fantastic. So first of all, I really encourage anyone listening or watching, wherever you are, go get Powered by Storytelling. Phenomenal book. And one of the things I love about stories is, like parables of old, when you listen to or read a story, you read it from the lens of your life. And so you're able to apply it to your life and extract the kind of the morals of a story and it becomes personal to you, which is so much different than like a policies and procedures manual or something static like that. So really encourage you to do that and check out Murray's company, which is Native, NATIV.com. Please. So
I'm just going to have to spell that for you.
Yes.
NARATIV.
Thank you. I'll correct that.
With one R and no E.
Got it.
What it stands for is Narrative Approaches for Releasing and Transforming Identity and Voice. So it's NARATIV.com.
Got it. All right. So we'll get that. And we'll be putting links and stuff where in the descriptions to make that a little bit easier. So Murray, I think it's fantastic what you're doing. I love stories and I'm really becoming a student more and more of it. So I'm really enjoying your book. What, for me, all of this stuff that we do, business and stories and everything, is there so that we can live the life that we want to live and really explore, right? And so what's one major thing on your bucket list that you're going to achieve in the next 12 months? This is our personal bucket list, not just like, oh, we're going to hit a new milestone at Narrative.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell it to you then. So on my personal bucket list is a new project that I've begun, and it's associated with my company, Narrative, but it's in the nonprofit sector, and it's called the World Mother Storytelling Project. And my aspiration is to teach every child on this planet how to listen to and be able to tell the story of their mother. Because I feel that it's the mothers our mothers, you know, individually and collectively, that have the capacity to truly transform our planet. So within the next year, I'd like to see the World Mother Storytelling Project in at least three different countries, which would include the United States, South Africa, Mexico, and I'm going to add Germany. I don't know why, but those are the four countries I want to see it.
I love it. I think that's great. And I think I'm about to travel back to the land of my grandmother's family. And so we're trying to learn more stories about that. And it's actually really sad. Like the stories kind of die off after a generation or so. And so we have to go kind of rediscover that. And it's going to be interesting. I think it's great.
I wish you all the best with that.
Thank you.
I mean, that's where you come from. That's your origin story. Can I just say one thing?
Please.
Your origin story doesn't have to start with your own life. It can start with your parents, your grandparents, or ancestors that go all the way back, that left you with some seed of inspiration or some form of knowledge. So good luck with that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, all of you listening out there, I hope that you take this and you go and you read Power by Storytelling. But more of all, I hope that you really discover your origin story and that it's your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with Tyler Jorgensen. Please make sure to subscribe so you're first to hear new interviews and episodes. If you found this podcast to be valuable, please share it with a friend. Don't forget to visit our online dojo at bizninja.com to claim your reward for listening to the show.